In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dearest faithful, I pray sometimes, and I hope it happens more often than not, I pray that sometimes we are so overwhelmed by the beauty, the depth, the opportunities of our holy and beautiful Catholic faith. I pray that at times there's just something, whether it's a God moment or whether there's an infusion of grace or whatever it is, that we just have a moment and the only thing we can do at that moment is to cry out from our heart and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this holy faith. Thank you for this beautiful, holy Catholic Church. Thank you, Lord. And if we haven't had those moments, I pray that we make ourselves available for those moments, because we don't have to manufacture them. Our Lord wants to give them to us. Because in reality, our, if you will, journey in the faith is not a momentary or a sporadic effort on our part. It has to be a daily effort, a step-by-step effort on the journey. There are those who would like to have the journey just be completed quickly, in a matter of days sometimes, that I want to be at the height of my faith. I want to be the height of my spiritual journey. I want to truly be living and experiencing all that the Lord has to offer. And then if it doesn't happen quickly, oftentimes we become just a tad worried or even despondent. And yet our Lord never promised us that this journey would be quick. Because if it was a series of quick sort of aha moments, or these moments when it's just a sort of a flash in the pan where we have a momentary excitement or a momentary encouragement, then what about the rest of the time? What about the intervening moments when in reality the journey with Jesus, the journey on the path, is a journey that our Lord has promised us? He said the road will be narrow, the road will be twisty, there will be rocks, there will be obstructions. And remember that the road always, always leads to Calvary. Always leads to Calvary. We can't get around it. That you must come to me and walk with me along every aspect of the road, the Via Gloriosa as well as the Via Dolorosa. And so we enter this day fully sensing that there's a change. How do we know? Well, we can see it. We can hear it. And again, it's the beauty of our faith that all of our senses are engaged, and how good that is, how thankful we should be that all of our senses are engaged in, if you will, the poverty-stricken word called the practice of our faith. Now it's the living out of our faith. And in so doing, we notice differences. We notice today that there's a change in vestment color. We see the violet, the penitential violet. And how good it is that we recognize that. We miss the Gloria. We did not hear it. The organ does not play, and yet the angelic voices are still there. The angels are still with us, and yet the organ does not play. Sights, sounds, changes, movements of the season, movements of the heart, all part of who we are as Catholics. And how good it is then, Septuagesima, the 70th, the opportunity roughly 70 days before Easter Sunday. And how good it is that we have this opportunity to prepare ahead of time for Holy Lent. Because if we go into our penitential seasons, particularly Holy Lent, as sort of an oh no moment, oh no, it's almost Lent, rather than oh joy, it's almost Lent. And you think, oh Father, no, you're just kidding us. What do you mean, oh joy? And that's exactly what I mean. Oh, joy. And we have these three Sundays, Septuagesima, and the two succeeding that take us into Holy Lent so that we can prepare well, so that we're, as Canon Boucheron says in the little article that you should read in the bulletin, where he says, don't get caught by surprise. Don't get to the point where all of a sudden Lent begins, and before we can even get our sneakers tied tightly, it's half over before we have even made any progress. So we can plan and move forward now. But there is a question to be asked, and the question is, to what end? To what end all of this? And sometimes we imagine that these penitential seasons are ends of themselves. They are not. They are not an end. They are but, let's call it, magnified means, exaggerated means to an eventual end. And then you ask, what end is that? Well, our Lord tells us. And our Lord so encourages us. You even hear it today in the epistle. It says that, do you not know that those who run a race, all indeed run, but one receives the prize, so run as to obtain the prize. Run to obtain the prize. Well, first of all, we have to know why we're running. Why do we do what we do? Why? And again, this is rhetorical, but it's worthy to ask us ourselves these questions. Why do we get up on Sunday mornings, and why do we come to this place? Why do we do as Catholics what we do? Because it's not random, and there is a reason for everything that we do, but it is like a race. It is like a journey that is continual, a lifetime of journey. And in that lifetime, the goal is to win, not just finish, but to win. And you realize that in our day and in our society, that idea of winning sometimes is set aside. This idea that, no, don't worry about winning, just participate. Just participate. Everybody who shows up. I mean, how many times have you seen teams of children show up to play a game, and before they can even play the game, some well-meaning supervisors come and give every kid a trophy. Every kid a trophy. Well, what's this for? Well, it's just for showing up. It's just for being here. We don't want you to ever worry about losing. So we're going to make you winners, supposedly, without even giving it a try, without even trying to win. And sadly, there's probably some good-heartedness somewhere in there. But in reality, not only is it so unfair, then what happens to our motivation? Because the only thing that moves our will to work are motives. And if our will is not motivated to work by motives that are real and true and good and powerful and desirable, then our will becomes very much like what we hear in the gospel today. Idle. Idle, not in idolatry, but idle as in the motors on, but we're not going anywhere. And we imagine that even in our vehicles, idling is not a benign thing, because we're burning up time and gas and going nowhere. And yet, idling in the faith sometimes is considered to be quite acceptable, quite benign. Isn't it just good enough that I showed up? Because if I show up, whether it's on the ball diamond or in spiritual matters, as long as I show up, I'll get a trophy. I'll get the prize even before I start to run the race. Because isn't that the way that it is? And our Lord says, no, that is not the way that it is. But why would we want to have a faith journey that lax and that empty? and that devoid of purpose or motive. Why? I can't imagine that we truly would want to. You say, well, we don't want to be like those workers in the marketplace. But think about them. They were standing in the marketplace. They were at least making themselves available. They had to get up. They had to have the desire, the potential to go someplace and make themselves available. But in making themselves available, there was nothing beyond that. There was nothing to compel them or urge them to go pounding on the door and say, I want to work in your vineyard. They just sat and waited for somebody to come. So it wasn't that they were totally idle or totally without motivation. They at least got there. And think about what it would be like for us to come, to make the effort to get up, to get the kids put together, to all the things that we have to do, come and be here, and then just sit. And just sit and be idle and not let anything potentially happen. And we imagine sometimes we have to drum it up or gin it up ourselves. And yet our Lord never said that. He said, I come to you with an invitation. I come to you with an invitation to enter into the vineyard, to come. I invite you. Our whole faith is an invitation. Our Lord doesn't stand there with a stick and try to beat us. He leads us like a good shepherd. And sheep follow. Cows have to be driven. But we follow. And we truly come. I pray that when we come to every Holy Mass, that we realize that this is very much an augmentation, an enhancement of the everyday reality of our journey. Not the end all, but a momentary traveling to the heights, if you will, to the top of the mountain. But then we return to the plain, but we stay on the journey. And so therefore, I pray for all of us that we use these weeks of preparation before Holy Lent, and understanding that our Lord is inviting us not to, as we sometimes imagine, that if I just punish myself hard enough, I'll make myself more worthy for this grace, for this journey. And our Lord says, I've never asked you to beat yourself up. I've only asked you to think with great clarity and with the eyes and the mind of faith to say, what can I either take away that may be separating me from a close and intimate walk with my Lord, or what might I add into this journey to enhance it even further? And so our Holy Lent isn't always a subtraction. There always can be the possibility of an addition. And if we remember that all of us are given what Thomas Aquinas said, a certain volume of potency, of potential. And the goal then for the journey then is to, as Scripture says, to put on Jesus Christ and to seek the perfection of God. Well, what is perfection? Perfection is God in himself being fully in act, as Aquinas would say, fully activated, fully in action. There's no potential in God. Well, therefore, our journey and our spiritual desire should be to, as much as possible, to convert all of the potential that we've been given and put it into act, put it into action. That's what Scripture means when it says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. It means take all your potential and put it into action. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you wondered if we had a call for Holy Lent, I pray we do. I pray we heard the call and we'll prepare ourselves well, but we'll prepare in joy, not in dread. We'll prepare for the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, yes. What is it? What do you want me to add? What do you want me to take away? Tell me, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.